Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, the wide world of sports. And, guys, welcome to Thursday night, May the 13th. And, boy, we're creeping up on a half a year already. Gosh, the time flies by. But it's because there's so much happening. God, music is starting to get a little bit of fire. You're starting to see some tours being talked about for next year. We got Rock and Roll Hall of Fame news tonight, which, again, I want to puke. What else we got? Okay, sports. I mean, obviously, listen, the Garden, the dysfunction has flipped. You know, the Knicks are looking like a playoff team. They are looking like a team that might do a little damage in the playoffs. Now I'm not expecting the Knicks run. What do we expect from the Knicks? I don't know. I think anything you get is gravy, but boy, you got to enjoy this team. They play every single night. They play defense. God, I like watching this basketball team. I don't like watching basketball, but I like watching the Knicks. So I'm intrigued about the playoffs for the Knicks are going to look like. On the other side of the Garden, you know, the Rangers, you know, we talked about last week, they fired Davidson and Groton. Lots of people speculating on why, you know, it's only been 2 years. They supposedly Dolan wanted to fire Groton, but again, we'll get into that. But you know, now David Quinn, the coach, has been fired. So Chris Drury's got his hands full, and we'll see where the Rangers go. We'll talk a little about that tonight. We'll talk about the Yankees, and of course the Mets. The Yankees got to love you got what you saw last night out of. Okay, one second. Hold on. No. Sure. So anyway, sorry guys. Anyway, yeah. So I mean, you gotta like the way that Gerrit Cole pitched last night. It's a 1-0 duel. That's great baseball for me, guys. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We got the NFL schedules are out. We got again. We talked about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We got a little wrestling to get to tonight. Brazilian Dutch death metal. We'll talk a little bit about that. Tim Tebow has resurfaced in the football world. We got that. We got the backup plan for Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to tell you what the backup plan for Aaron Rodgers is if the Packers don't get to bring him back. And we got a lot to get to. I see Ike is sitting across from me. He is the biggest telephone tough guy you ever want to meet. He spews all this shit all week long, and then he gets on the air, and he's just a little puppy in the corner. So I'm going to give Ike his time, but we got to get this show started. More than most important, I opened up the show with a little bit of the new Dictators song, Let's Get the Band Back Together, in which they have done. And we're going to have our good friend Ross the Boss of RTB, Manowar, Dictators, a couple other bands that escaped me. Ross will be checking in with us. He's also a big Mets and Giants fan, so we'll catch up with Ross tonight. Be a little bit of an abbreviated show. I am getting on a flight very early tomorrow morning, so we'll do the show and then maybe end this a little early. We'll see how it goes, but we're glad we have you here from 7 to 9 at least, and we'll have some fun along the way. Hopefully you guys will join us, whether on the phone, 347-826-9934 on the radio side, and of course, if you with all your comments on the Facebook side. So guys, let's get into this. Let's have some fun, and let's bring on the as he's calling himself, Jeff Ike Turner Tolowinski, the backbone and the heart of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, joining me right now. Hefe,
what's up, Tina?
You got a pair of balls to call me Tina.
Whatever you want to call it, man. You know what it is? It's jealousy.
Jealousy.
Jealousy on your part.
Yes. Yes. Because of your vast knowledge of football that you supposedly have.
Your general manager's homeland is getting bombed to shit.
It's true.
And it's not going to stop until he resigns from the Giants.
Or your boy Sleepy Joe Biden gets booted out, and then we get a real press. But let's not get into politics tonight.
Listen. I hear you. It's all about Gettleman. That's I'm convinced of that.
Well, Jeff, let's hit the show the right way. Jeff, how was your week?
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give it a 5.
5 being why? Just a so-so week. That's it.
Well, please don't mind me. I don't know if you could see over there on the bed, that little lump on the bed.
Yes.
I have my eyeless dog hanging out with me tonight up there, and she's hanging out, sleeping by the window, but I just got to keep an eye on her so she doesn't try to walk off the bed.
All right, well,
and get hurt.
We'll keep an eye on her for you here while we're doing the show, but, you know, Jeff's a lot going on in sports right now. You know, we got basketball players about to kick in. We got the Rangers turning into the Knicks on that side, new coach now we're looking at. I want to talk to you about who I think should coach the Rangers. I want to get into, we got the NFL schedule, which is, you know, I want to break it down to the Jets and the Giants. I have to tell you, I think the Giants have a very tough schedule, to be honest with you. But I want to get your take on the schedules. There's a couple of key games this year. I thought the Jets going to London.
That's part of the reason why the Ike business.
That's part of the Ike business? Because the Rangers have a tough schedule?
Yeah. The NFL has gave the Giants a soft start.
Oh, what, game one?
To maximize the what's that?
Well, game one? Game one. Okay, I'll give you game one. Maybe an easy game. Maybe. But we're gonna get into that. We'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the Yankees and the Mets. The Mets win seven straight now. Let me get my standings out. I want to do a little baseball standings here.
Where is Carmine while the Mets have won seven in a row? I haven't seen a video of him.
But... Yeah, it's very quiet. Yeah, well, because the Yankees are playing pretty well too. The Yankees are 8-2 in their last 10. The Mets are 8-2 in their last 10. The Mets are in first place in their division by a game and a half. The Yankees are in second by out two games. Listen, you know, Oakland's up in the West. Get a little comfortable, two and a half game lead. The White Sox with 77-year-old Tony La Russa, although people are questioning his abilities this year, are in first place in the Central National League. You got St. Louis up three games over Milwaukee. And Frisco, surprisingly, in first place over the San Diego Padres by a game and a half, and the Dodgers, who've gone into a little bit of a tailspin. So, but, you know, I watched the Yankee game last night. It was a good job by Gerrit Cole, eight innings, 106 pitches, shutout baseball. You know, Jeff, here's the funny part of it. I have to admit, watching the Yankee game last night, it was boring, and I'll tell you why it was boring. Too many strikeouts. I mean, I thought it was a great pitching duel. Both pitchers had a great game. The bullpens did a nice job. Yankees put together a single, double, and a sac fly for the only run of the game. But everybody either hits a home run or strikes out in this baseball town. It's ridiculous.
You know, I think that's the problem with when you have a lot of power hitters. And I know the Yankees are built for power. But, I mean, once again, I don't watch baseball. I'm just going by observations.
Sure.
Whenever you have power hitters, because they're swinging for the fence, they swing at almost anything they think they can hit. Sometimes they hit it. Sometimes they miss it. So it's a lot of them either strike out or hit a home run. And listen, it's something that happens when you have a power hitting lineup. You know that.
Yeah, but the problem is, Jeff, you got back in the day, you had your Dave Kingmans and your Rob Deers, who were 250 hitters, but might hit 30 home runs. And they struck out 150 times. Now you got your second basemen, you got your shortstops, who are trying to hit 25 homers, but they strike out 100 times. And the problem, here's baseball's problem in a nutshell right now. I turned on the game the other night, and Giancarlo Stanton hits a rocket to second base, a rocket, I think it was a single. And it come out with exit velocity, 118 miles an hour. Like, do I care that it was an 118 mile an hour single? Like, are we down to that at this point? I mean, that's the problem. So these guys are going up there, and the guy who's hitting 10 home runs a year and the guy who's hitting 40 home runs a year are each swinging the same way. Nobody hits for a situation.
No, you're right. Nobody does. But how you just said that it was a boring game because there was so many strikeouts.
Yes.
Offense is what is going to sell the game of baseball now. Not strategy. Nobody wants to see – well, I shouldn't say nobody. Let me rephrase that. Not many people want to sit and watch a strategic game of baseball. They would rather watch an entertaining game of baseball. There is a difference.
I agree.
Now, there's a difference for some people, I might add.
But don't you think that bunting, hit and running, stealing bases, don't you think that's an interesting part of the game? Like, don't you think people would find that interesting other than sitting there watching, two guys in the game hit a rocket home run and then – 12 other guys strike out? Like, wouldn't that be more interesting?
I would think that when you want to see the ball put in play a possible chance that the ball gets put in play. Not that, like you said, they're just tanking it over the fence. Okay, next guy gets up and a bunch of, one home runs, single home runs, as opposed to maybe two men on base, three men on base, whatever the case is. At least it gives you something, like a little something to watch as everything is unfolding. But, it's baseball because there's so many questions about baseball. Is it too long? The way they're trying to add more offense with, starting extra innings with a guy on base. And it's just stupid. I think they're taking away from it. I think they should go back to the way it was with, you know, you just keep playing until there's a winner. You just get up, no extra men on base. Leave no designated hitter in the National League. So it differentiates the two leagues.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, really, maybe tell these guys they can't keep taking in between pitches, step out of the batter's box between pitches all the time. You got to stand there or something, you know. Or if it happens, they get a strike or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
You got to do something to fix it.
Yeah, again, you know, and now I heard something the other day that there's a bunch of players who said they've noticed that the ball is a little more dead this year than it passed. And, you know, here's the thing I don't like. Why isn't the baseball made the same way every year? Like, why is it some years that maybe it's tighter or made with somehow differently that would create more flight? I mean, why isn't it standard? Kind of like football or a hockey puck or a basketball, they're standard made. You know, they have a certain amount of air in them. They have a certain amount of rubber, or they're built just the same way. Why is it baseball has to deaden or liven the ball up every year? Why is it built the same exact way?
Oh, good question. I guess they're trying to control the game a little bit more. You know, maybe they notice that there's too many home runs. Maybe they notice that the game is going to a direction maybe that they don't want it to.
Yeah.
So in order to stop that from happening, they deaden the ball a little bit. But, I mean, when you say deaden the ball a little bit, if Major League Baseball, for example, hits 2,000 home runs a year as an overall.
Right.
And now they dip down to 1925, like that off 75 off last year's pace. Is that what people are saying is a change? You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see the end of the year.
2,000, now it's down to 1,600. That would be a bigger difference to me.
Right. I guess we have to wait till the season ends and see how many home runs are hit this year versus last year. But the bigger problem, like I said, for me, it's not home runs or not home runs. It's the fact that guys just don't make contact. And yeah, I think it comes down to, you know, the way they're swinging. Nobody's, you know, two strikes, nobody, you know, takes a little off and puts the ball in play. It's, you know, I'm watching guys, you know, crank, like I said, 118 mile an hour single. Who cares? You know, it's a single. I almost care if it's, you know, a 500-foot home run, but a guy hits a single, I really could care less how fast he got out of the infield.
I guess, Tom, you know, it's another stat that gives fans something that they could understand. You know, like you try to figure out how to figure out an on-base percentage.
Yep.
Try to figure out a person's bat. I never knew anybody that could figure out a batting average. It's kind of easy. Get up twice, hit the ball once, you're hitting 500.
Yeah.
You know, get up twice, get two hits, you're hitting 1,000. You know, other than the obvious ones. But to just sit there in the middle of a season and be like, well, this guy's average is going to go up 3 points if he gets a double. You know, it's kind of hard to figure that out. But exit velocity, while a bullshit stat, is still something to capture someone's attention that, you know, a guy like Judge or Stanton, you know, hits a laser from the plate and then, like, to the second baseman, first baseman, whatever, not important.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, Christ, the guy hit the ball. It was 120 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, imagine being the pitcher 60 feet away from a guy that size hitting the ball.
Oh, yeah.
18 miles an hour.
No, I get it. I get it. You know? Yeah, no, you're right.
It's
just
another stat to keep the people in the game, I guess. Keep their attention focused on the game.
Maybe.
As stupid as it may sound.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, thanks for checking in with Jeff and I this Thursday night. We got lots going on. We got, again, coming up soon, Ross the Boss calls is going to be checking in to say hello about talking about the Dictators. I played their single and a new video for Let's Get the Band Back Together.
Look at Louis Beaker.
What's up, Gumati? So we'll talk to Ross the Boss in a little bit. We're going to talk Knicks, Rangers. We'll get a lot of football schedule. I'm going to tell you what the Green Bay Packers backup plan is if they trade Aaron Rodgers. I want to ask Jeff if he knows who the wrestling personality is behind the song "Keep On Dancing." We'll see if he knows what that is.
No, I never even heard the song before.
You've heard the song, Jeff. You just don't know you've heard the song. We'll get to that a little later. We'll talk about, I never knew that there was anybody else but Hulk Hogan, who slammed Andre the Giant. We'll get to that a little bit.
Yeah, really.
Did that surprise you?
Just a second. Yeah, it surprised me that it happened so many times.
I didn't really. To me, the whole Big John Studd era was based on the fact that him and Andre had never been slammed, and yet, not true.
Yeah, I agree. I never thought that Andre got slammed, like you said, until Hogan did it. And then the people that actually slammed him.
Yes.
Some of them slammed him with authority.
Yes.
Okay. And some of them, I'm like, they look like they were our size. And it's like, how the fuck did they do this?
If we could ever get a wrestler on, I'd love to. Listen, I know Hulk Hogan's 300 and something pounds and he's a very strong guy. But to pick up a guy like Andre and be able to turn him over and slam, there's got to be a technique to it and some help along the way. And I will tell you, I am completely hooked on 80s wrestling right now. Last week I watched the 1987 Royal Rumble, start to finish, 3 hours. Hulk Hogan won it at the end. Saw some great matches. I'm going to Florida. I will be visiting Hulk Hogan's beach shop.
Really?
Yes, I will be going to Hulk Hogan's beach shop tomorrow afternoon. I will be sending Jeff a video from there tomorrow when I get there.
Dude, I hope he's there.
It would be the ultimate. Jimmy Hart has a tiki bar in one of the towns. I will be going to that as well. So I am on a wrestling kick like you cannot believe. I spend my weekends watching old wrestling. So it's scary, nice. But that's what I do. So we'll get to some wrestling tonight. We'll talk a bit about the Knicks. Brazilian Dutch death metal, which I've never heard of. I want to ask Jeff if he's ever heard of Brazilian Dutch death metal.
I've heard of the Brazilian before.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of it.
Okay.
All the right people.
Yes, I got you. Well, there's a Brazilian Dutch death metal. We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Tim Tebow has resurfaced, Jeff. We'll talk about Tim Tebow. I want to talk about the Jets opening game. Is it by coincidence? The Jets opening game, is it a coincidence? Jets and the Carolina Panthers.
Listen, right now, at this point in time,
yes,
I am more interested
in
talking Tim Tebow.
Yes.
Football-wise, I'm more interested in talking Tim Tebow than anything else right now.
Well, we're going to get my dad on. Let's get him on, and then we'll get to Tim Tebow and Ross the Boss. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The one good thing, Randy Rhoads is getting inducted, which I think is great. We'll talk about the rest of the inductees and Iron Maiden being snubbed. KK Downing, Ron Bloomberg, and much more here on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So sit tight, have some fun, and we'll be back. We'll get my dad on, and we'll get to some other stuff tonight. Let's see what Dad's got to say. What's up, Pop?
What's up, guys? How you doing? Yeah, I was listening to your conversation. I don't think I read an article. I saw it on TV, mm-hmm. and they were talking about the body slam.
Yeah.
And according to what they said was,
mm-hmm.
The more important person is the guy getting slammed.
He
makes it possible.
I can see that.
They said something about the way he grips it, and he actually helps it, because if you ever notice, they're always holding the guy's leg.
Yes, they're pushing on the thigh, yes.
Right. And that's what I mean. I don't know, I don't know how you, I wouldn't want to be the guy trying to do.
I don't care how much he helps me. I don't think I'm slamming Andre the Giant, Jeff.
No. Well, you can't do it unless he helps you.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
More of the work than the guy actually picking him up. So how true it is, I have no idea. But you're talking baseball.
Yep,
to me, the fundamental of baseball, number one fundamental is to win the game.
Okay,
I mean, home runs, all that other. Now, I'm watching a game last night. Tampa Bay's losing to the Yankees 1-0 in the ninth inning. You got the guy up. The whole right side of the infield is naked.
Yeah.
Nobody there at all. Okay?
Yeah.
And you need a runner to get on base. You're not going to get the home run, especially when you got, what's his name, Chapman in there.
Yep.
Nobody's going the opposite way to get a base hit, to get a runner on, because you're confused. The game has changed so dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, I tell you, you yell at the TV, say, the whole side of the infield is out. Why are you trying to pull the ball? And they're pitching him outside, too. Mm-hmm. I can understand if he was pitching him inside. Pitching him outside. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
No, it's not you, Pop. I watched the game, and it's frustrating. There's a lot of things to the Yankees. Listen, I know the Yankees are playing better. They're 8-2 in the last 10. They're second place, two games out. They're creeping up. They'll win games. But this team is flawed. I wish they would play Higashioka full time. I think the pitching is better when he's behind the plate and he's doing enough hitting where it's not hurting them. And but you're right. It's almost boring baseball at this point. Too many strikeouts. I don't want home runs. I just want to put the ball in play.
They don't believe in that though.
No, I agree.
They tell you that there's. Today, if you put the ball in play, you got a chance. Today, it's not like that. I don't understand it. It at times, it's very frustrating because it's almost like you don't want to win the game. You just want to play and hit a home run. That's all you want to do. That's why you'll never get anybody breaking any records unless they go back to the junk.
Yeah. Again, listen. I love the pitching matchup. The pitching last night. I love to watch games like that where every at bat counts. But it was like maybe it was the way Cole was pitching. I mean, the guy was just on fire last night. Loved the fact that at the last batter, he was staring him down at the plate when it was over. I was almost surprised that he didn't come back out from the ninth. It was 106 pitches, but I guess they were going to use Chapman and he was. Fourth time in five games, or third time in four games. So, but listen, it was a good win. The first time they beat the Rays in a series since 2018 or 19. So
right.
So good job, buddy.
I don't know. I get very. Did you watch the replay of that guy the other night with the Mets?
The guy ran into the wall. Yeah.
I've never seen anybody hit a wall that hard. The only guy I forgot the guy. I think it was from Boston. Ran into a brick wall like that. But I never seen any. I thought the guy was dead when he hit it.
Yeah, again, and yet managed to walk off. Did you see that, Jeff? The kid, one of the guys for the Mets the other night, full speed. Like sometimes you jump or you kind of slow down, and even though you hit full speed, this guy was on a dead run straight to the wall. Just looked like he died for a second. Just looked like he died.
Really?
Yeah. He walked off the field, though. He's on the IL, but he walked off the field. Got to give him credit for it. So, but, listen, that's a hard play. You don't see enough of that in baseball. And, I still enjoy baseball, but it's a strikeout or a home run. They just don't string the, five hits together in a row anymore. That's the major problem.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
Being that your dad brought this up, kind of. Just a quick question. Do either one of you think that the time of setting records in baseball is over?
Well, certain ones are over. Certain ones. I still think you'll get, most strikeouts in the season. You already got four no-hitters this year, and five if you count the one that they didn't count, the one from Baumgartner for the seven innings. You've already got five already. I think the record is either seven or nine for a year. And you already got four already. So
you usually seem to start this year off with a couple no hitters every year. It seems.
Yeah, I think it's because pitchers are ahead of hitters and the cold weather for most cities. So I can see it, but you four, and again one got thrown out because of the seven innings. Yanks down 2-0 early, already to Tampa Bay. Tampa's cranking them out. They hit two outs in the first inning. What are you gonna do? I hate the Rays uniform. These blue things are terrible. Oh my God!
I'm gonna let you guys go, Tommy. Have enjoy your little vacation.
Thank you, Bob.
Taken care of.
I know
hey,
it
Jeff,
is.
Take care, and Tommy, we'll talk to you when you get back. Call us. Let's go. When you're
I'll
back.
Check in during the trip, Dad. No problem.
All right. Take care, guys.
That's my guy. Checks in every week, and we love having him. Jeff, just an interesting question. Whether there's going to be a lot of, I think Cal Ripken is safe at this point. I don't think anybody's playing in, 2,200 games in a row. I think that's out the window, the way the game's played today. And I think because you may get a guy who breaks the home run record maybe because that's what they're swinging for. But
Well, it depends on what's recognized as the home run record. If you're talking Roger Maris is still holding the rightful record,
then possibly.
But if it's Barry Bonds, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, again, I don't know, for me, that's the thing. I think to a certain extent, and I see our guest has popped up, but he's out of the chair right now, so we'll keep going for a minute. But, you know, Jeff, I think it's interesting from the sense that I think records sometimes are in the eye of the beholder. So for me, I'm always going to look to Roger Maris's 61 as the real record, you know. Now, if Barry Bonds gets into the Hall of Fame, does that lend more credence to the 77 that he did? That's a great question. I don't know how I would answer that.
I can answer it.
Go ahead.
I feel. Okay. I think that if they ended up putting him in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
they're kind of admitting of like, okay, we know that you did steroids, or we're going to overlook that you did steroids, or it wasn't illegal at the time to do steroids, so you really weren't doing nothing wrong. Whatever, however it would fall into whatever category is probably what they would end up going with.
Yeah.
Because sooner or later, I think they want these guys in the Hall of Fame. They want McGuire and Clemens and Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I think they'd rather have them in the Hall than out of the Hall. Mm. I just wonder, because, you know, you don't realize that these guys played when they're in their 30s and stuff, 20s and 30s. Now they're all in their 50s. Some of them, Clemens may be closing in on 60. I don't know how old he is, but I know he's definitely a couple years older than we are.
Yeah. He's late 50s for sure, 58, 59.
Yeah.
He's definitely in that range.
How long, much longer do you keep them out? Do they ever know that they made it into the Hall of Fame? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tend to think that they're going to get in on the next round or two. I do think that they're creeping up. I think a lot of the older writers are starting to fade away, and the newer guys, the younger guys, are coming in with not being a part of that generation. And when you go back and look at the numbers and you get past a lot of the stuff, I believe that Clemens and Bonds will both get in at some point. You know, some guys won't get in, you know, but we'll see. You know, it's going to be interesting, guys. We're going to get to some Tim Tebow talk.
I'll be right back. I got to go home. But I think my wife just came home. I don't want to jump off the bed. Oh, by the way, see the ceiling fan?
I see it. Works good.
Working very good.
Yep.
I'll be right back. Let me just bring that down.
Good. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here. I'm about to pick up Ross the Boss. As soon as I see his handsome face in the screen, we'll talk a little Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, something that Ross the Boss should get some consideration for. As soon as we see Ross pop back up on the screen, we'll jump on, get him on, do a few minutes on the Dictators reassembling, new singles and all that good stuff. So we'll wait for Ross to pop up and Jeff to get back. In the meantime, make sure you guys stick around. And I see Ross. I think he's ready for us. Let's bring in the legend himself and one of my all-time favorite guests on the Hot Rocket Sports Show, Mr. Ross Freeman. Ross, the boss. What's up, boss?
What's up?
What's up, man?
She's got there. We got a little pushing.
That's my dog, Basil. She just wanted to say hello before she goes back downstairs. I'll be right back.
All right, gotcha. Hey, Ross, welcome back to the show, sir. How you been?
Doing okay, man. I mean, the batting cage is ripping. We're really doing great, I got to tell you.
Oh, that's terrific.
We have the cage here. We have 16 in-house travel teams now.
Wow.
Well, I think we're probably tied with the Brooklyn Bonnies as the biggest baseball organization in the city.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow, that's terrific. You wonder sometimes if people think that the popularity of baseball is way down, but sounds of that sounds like no. Sounds like it's out there ripping right now.
Nah, the kids are really, you know, and there's such a need for them to do something.
Sure.
Just get out there just because they were so destroyed last year and with this whole this crap. And, it turns out, of course, it didn't have to be.
Yeah, of course.
There's been no lockdown or any of this crap.
We all know it, Ross. We all know it. We've been screaming about that for a year on this show. So, hey, let me ask you a question. As a guy who's around baseball, your son teaches and was a good player in his own right. How do you guys see the game today being taught and being played by the younger generation? Like, I'm railing on the 118 mile an hour exit velocity for a single. Like, who cares? You know, the younger generation, when you're teaching, when you're listening to these kids, how are they watching today's baseball and taking it onto the field?
Well, I think a lot of them really are trying to emulate their heroes in a lot of sense. You know, we're getting some bad batting stances, and we're getting mechanics that are all off. And, you know, if you can believe that, my son's here teaching now. I mean, these kids are up there doing the way, but they're emulating the heroes. But the thing is about that, those are all timing mechanisms for them batting.
Sure.
When they're up at the plate and they're waving the bats and batting all that, I mean, it's a timing mechanism for the professional batter.
Sure.
Because if you know when the pitcher comes to the set, they're normal.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, for me, I wonder if these kids are up there, you know, I don't know if at the young level that your guys got them at, are they outside of your school, are they being taught situational hitting, situational baseball where, you know, choke up a little bit, hit the ball the other way, move the runner over? Do you see that being lacking when you guys are teaching?
Absolutely lacking when they come to us. It's absolutely lacking. The strategies and, you know, they just want a lot of these kids – we want them to play, but they come in and all they're thinking about is hitting a bomb.
Right.
And that's not baseball. That's just not the way the game is played, and that's not the way we teach the game here. We stress little ball. We stress, you know, moving runners over. You know, even from a young age, we have an 8 years old, mm-hmm. 9 years old, and we're teaching that. I said, you know, don't. Of course, the home run is great. Of course, you know, the shot over the outfielder's head is great. It's good to clear the bases.
Mm-hmm.
But you just think about it. You know, when you need one run, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We're very we're doing a great job. I mean, and my organization just took control of the American Legion fields in Brooklyn off the Belt Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the American Legion had these fields leased to the Parks Department, leased it to the American Legion, and we have and this youth service, this group called Youth Service, you might have heard of them,
mm-hmm.
the baseball organization, they ran it into the ground.
Oh, really?
Totally ran it into the ground. And so we knew some guys from the American Legion, and we told them we're gonna fix everything up. So it's a huge space. It's a huge space. We have four professional 90-foot fields.
Wow.
Four of
them. Wow.
Two little league fields. A giant concession and a garage full of equipment, of grooming equipment. And so my people are there right now grooming the fields. And we just spent $5,000 on a deep fryer, kitchen equipment, stainless steel stuff. So we're going. It's going to be great.
Wow. Where is this again? Off the Belt? Where is it?
It's off the Belt Parkway in Rockaway.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Well, listen, Russ, I want to let Jeff jump in, but I tell you, I think that's great. And I love the fact that you guys are still out there teaching and hopefully teaching the game the right way. And hopefully these kids will accept the way the game should be played. And, you know, maybe we get to change the next generation of players.
We're putting a lot of kids in college, I can tell you that.
That's great to hear. Jeff, go ahead, jump in.
Russ, real quick, you made mention earlier about how you're trying to teach the kids the right way and the fundamentals of the game. What are you up against? How hard is the influence that you're up against? Because you could only show them, say they're there for an hour, but then they watch a week's worth of baseball. How are you breaking them of the habits that they're starting to get into? It's got to be virtually impossible.
Well, they were taught. I mean, some of these kids weren't taught at all. And if some of these kids are coming from little leagues, the little league is not really teaching them the right way. We usually find out. I mean, the people that volunteer for little leagues, their fathers, they're well-meaning, they're good people. They really, I mean, they're volunteering. None of them get paid.
Yeah.
And you know, the byproduct of that is poor, you know, poor fundamentals.
Yeah.
But the people that come to travel teams are better players.
Yeah.
So already, we have a better ball players, you know, that know what to do. But once they get here, they're really schooled hard.
That's terrific. And
I imagine, you know, you're up against watching the Yankees, and some of these kids must be diehard Yankee fans and Met fans, and they're watching all of these guys with, like, I remember when me and Tommy were younger, and you would, like you said before, you were doing this as you're up the bat because your favorite guy did it, or you stood with a wide open stance, some silly that only worked for those people that were professionals.
If they're professional, they're there for a reason.
Yeah,
exactly.
770 major league ball players.
Yeah.
United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most pitchers. So, you know, you go figure.
Absolutely.
As I said before, it's just a timing mechanism at the plate.
Absolutely. And you got to do what works for you, and you got to find what works for you. Otherwise, it doesn't work, and you look silly up there. So, but Russ, I love talking sports with you, and we'll talk a little bit more, but I got to get to why you're here, which is, let's get the band back together. What an amazing tune. What an amazing tune. And the Dictators reassemble. Who would have thought?
It's really amazing. The band is back. We have two singles out, two videos, Goddamn New York, which is what you think. And, of course, and mm-hmm. Let's get the band back together. They're both, I think, they're triumphs. And it just shows we're back and with some lineup changes. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just the way things are. And
interesting. Let me ask you, had the pandemic not happened, because it seems like you guys were all captive and wasn't much, you know, in a regular time where you're constantly RTB banned or other, you know, other stuff going on, you know, could this have happened in a non-pandemic time?
I think with the Dictators, it would have. I think because the reason we got together was to discuss business.
Mm-hmm.
That night to discuss some royalties, some sound exchange money. You know, we did a deal with, we got money back. You know, so we had to come together. And I'm saying, guys, why don't we play? Why don't we just play?
Yeah.
What's stopping us from playing?
Well, that's the question I have is, why was it a roadblock? Like, was it said 10 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever it was, that's it, we're done? Was it just kind of like it just got dropped and left and there was nobody made the move?
Well, the Dictators never said it was done. We never broke up. We never said we're finished. So, you know, we had the Dictators NYC version with Dean, Daniel, and JP,
mm-hmm.
Me in Manitoba, and we did 7 years. 7 years of touring.
Right.
Like two really good Euro tours a year.
Right.
And then when we stopped, I mean, we had some, you know, kind of thing imploded. Mm-hmm. No one wanted to play with Manitoba no more. So in a nutshell, the only way that the Dictators were going to come back together is if the original band would come back. It was if me, Andy, and Scott.
Right.
And we pick a new drummer. So Manitoba's out,
mm-hmm.
and that's just the way it is. So, but then Scott, well, you know, sadly, was diagnosed with early dementia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's been excruciating for us. Yeah. It's been excruciating for me and Andy. But Scott wants us to go forward. I mean, he's comfortable, you know, but
right.
he can't play. And we got a new drummer, and our new drummer is Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult.
I saw that. Amazing. Brought his cowbell with him, I'm assuming, all that good stuff.
He's the greatest cowbell player in the world.
and a good drummer, and a good drummer as well.
He's fantastic. So we just played with our new second guitar player last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't divulge who he is.
Oh. Come on, Russ. You know, you got to give us a little something sometimes. Come on, Russ.
I can't do it.
That's fine.
We're waiting for the third song.
Okay.
And we're going to have a big announcement. And
are we going to know who he is?
You'll know before.
No, I'm saying,
will we recognize him? Somebody well known?
You probably would recognize him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I loved it. I haven't been able to find the Goddamn New York song. I did. I listened. I opened the show with the first one with Let's Get the Band Back, which I love. Let me ask you this question. Something I like to ask a lot of people who do things the way you do it. How do you write for different bands? Do you have to go in a different mentality, or when you write, do you just go, I wrote this, this is good for RTB. Oh, no, this is good for – how does that work in your brain, so many different types of projects?
Well, whatever comes out of me comes out of me. I don't say, oh, I'm going to write a song for Death Dealer, or I'm going to write a song
right.
for RTB band today. It just doesn't. You know, good ideas are – I think good ideas are a gift from God. When I get a good idea, it's like, wow. And so I have to stop and, you know, record it on the phone because, you know, I'm at the point I will forget it if I don't immediately come into the phone. Or I think so. No matter what it is, if it's a good idea, it could be used to somebody.
Right. So it's a matter of you write, and then when it comes out, you go, this song belongs here or there, or somebody else will listen to it and say, hey, let's do that song.
A lot of the times it's not used for anything. I mean, but it's still there.
Sure.
I mean, I still have a bunch of ideas, and you never know. So, I mean, but I've been really going through. I got a lot of saved ideas and riffs, and so that you got to do that because my brain, I can't remember. I can't remember.
we're all getting old.
What I had for breakfast.
we're all getting a little punchy out there, Russ. We're all getting that's Russ the Boss. That's Jeff Towinski. I'm Tom Flory. This is the Hard Rock and Sports Show every Thursday night. Right here doing our thing. And we talk a little baseball. We talk a little sports. We talk a little music. And we have a little fun along the way. Make sure you guys join us every Thursday night, 7 to 9, right here on the Hard Rock and Sports Network. Russ, Jeff, you got something? Oh, I thought you said something.
So
Russ, you got another song coming out. You got a new guitar player starting up. You guys, I heard something about a tour in 2022. You guys are kind of throwing some stuff against the wall, see what it sticks. What?
Russ, the Bus Band is supposed to go to Russia, play July 3rd. This July 3rd.
Really?
Yeah. It's called the Big Gun Festival, and we're waiting on our visas, which I don't think we're getting because Joe Biden. Our fearless leader has been feuding with Vladimir Putin.
Yes, they're massing the troops along the Ukraine. I don't think you should be going anywhere, Russ.
Germans can get the visas into Russia, but I don't think the Americans can yet. Yeah, I'm not saying.
Yeah.
We'll see. But time is getting a little dicey for them for the July 3rd show.
I would say.
Right. Plus the guys are giving us money for plane tickets. So. But I'm supposed to go there in September, Russia and Eastern Europe for 15 shows with Uli Roth, with Graham Bonnet, with Marco Mendoza. Mm-hmm. We're doing we're playing with orchestras. I'm going with my singer Mark Lopes, and we're supposed to do 15 shows.
Wow!
All over Europe, all over Eastern Europe.
Wow, that's quite a lineup and. Quite an experience, and you know, I mean, so you guys are going to play concerts. Are there special conditions of these concerts?
I know.
Really?
No.
That's
my
interesting.
My girlfriend's from Russia. She said everything's open.
Okay. I'm not surprised everything's open in Russia because usually everything's closed. But what the hell?
Yeah, Putin's jail. They're open.
Yeah. Too bad they can't take Sleepy Joe with them. But listen, let's not go too far with that. But what's the plan for the Dictator? So you're going to get out another song and get that out. And is there going to be a tour of the old days type of tour? Is it a couple of shows? What are you guys thinking at this point?
I'm telling you what. So now that we have our new guitar player, he starts with – I'm working with him once a week.
Uh-huh.
The band is rehearsing once a week, every other week. So rehearse with guitar player, rehearse with band. And now we're just going to get ourselves up to playing speed. We're going to get ourselves up to fighting speed. And then by the time, I think, keep writing new songs, which we're doing, go to the studio again, you know, keep the new stuff coming, keep working. And by the time next year rolls around, I mean, I got three agencies, you know, I have the Blue Oyster Cult management on us wanting to represent us. And they're doing great, and we'll be doing great. So I think, next year is going to be a very busy year. Very busy.
Will you be going out with a little Dictators, a little RTB, a little Death Dealer, or kind of a mix of everybody kind of getting out there?
Anything's possible.
Wow. Good for you, Russ. I guess we're all hoping for a better 22 and to get some live music and see. What about this? Like, they're doing this thing now with drive-in theaters and streaming concerts. Any interest in – because to me, you know, without the audience there, it's kind of like, you know – it's like playing in the garage at that point.
I think that we're going to need the audience. And I think like Australia has opened up, and Israel has opened up, and well, even opened up the bomb shelter.
Yeah, just be careful. Careful going to Israel right now.
But certain places are opening up. New Zealand's opening up, open, totally open.
Huh.
I mean, a lot of our states are open. So Florida, you know, the same states.
Well, listen, I think the music, right, and I know that, you know, all the chatter on social media about you guys reassembling and getting out there and doing your thing, and having a guy like Albert join, and I can't wait to find out who's the second guitar player, but, you know, there's a buzz about it, and I'm telling you, I must listen to that song 10 times this week. I mean, let's get the band back. It's such a fun song, and, you know, it really is. I can't wait to hear the other one. And I'm hoping, and you mentioned the certain mayor of the city, although Jeff's a little partial to that guy, so be careful.
Get the fuck out of here. That's your goal. Actually, to be honest with you, all I need him to do is sign one piece of paper, and then that's it. We're good.
All right. Excuse me?
Yeah. Jeff's trying to retire from the city, and he needs the mayor's signature.
Okay.
So, Jeff, we're waiting for Russ to get back. He's got to answer the phones. He's got to do a little business out there.
Yeah, evidently. He's working, man.
So
what kind of employee could he be if he's here on an internet radio show?
We'll have to make sure. We'll have to find out if he's allowed to be talking on the phone, the radio to us.
I hear that.
No, I'm telling you, it's some good stuff that that the Dictators have. I think it's always great anytime you get these great bands back together and playing it again. And to me, I think it's always a shame, Jeff, when
like
bands walk away from each other when there's a lot of life in them.
Well, listen, it's a shame when bands walk away from one another, but it's even worse when a situation like the pandemic happens where these bands can't get back together when they want to get back together.
Yeah.
And you don't know maybe what else we actually missed the last year.
Russ, no problem. We won't keep it too much longer. Just, again, so we're thrilled. Is there any websites, anything that you want to promote for the Dictators itself, for yourself right now? Any websites, anything social media-wise people can kind of keep up to date with you guys?
Dictators.com. My website, ross-the-boss.com. All sorts of info on there, on my Facebook page. If people want to get in touch with me, they know where to go.
I think so at this point. You're a pretty easy guy to get in touch with. You're a man of the people, I have to tell you that much.
Place like dog shit.
Just show up at the batting cage, get a couple of quarters and go hit some balls. Russell, watch it.
It's self-feed. You have to put the balls in the sheet.
Really?
There's nothing automatic.
You got an iron mic?
No iron mic.
Oh, that's the mics are the best.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Somebody getting thrown out.
No.
So, Russ, listen, real quick. Give me a thought on Mets real quick. You watching a lot of Mets games?
Yep.
Everybody's hitting 250 or below, but seven straight wins, great pitching. DeGrom is the Seaver of this generation. Give me a quick thought on the Mets.
I think the Mets are kind of like the Yankees. I think the pitching has been great.
Yeah.
Mets pitching is great. Their bullpen is fantastic. Has been fantastic up to now. DeGrom will be back. Hopefully, they say it, but you know, you never know the Mets the way that shit goes.
Yeah.
It's great. They're great. I think the Mets have a great squad. I really do. It's a fun squad. I like the way they're bonding together. I like the way they play. They're doing some really little things. I think they're playing a good brand of baseball. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, the pitching's been good. The bullpen's been better than expected. I mean, they're not hitting great, but they won seven straight games without a lot of home runs. So they're finding ways to win games, which is a good way to do it.
Lindor will come around.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got Garcia in the shortstop in a long time.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He reminds me of Ray Ordonez a little bit.
But even better, and obviously a much better stick.
Yeah,
much better.
Sticks up.
Yeah, that's my point. Lodonia's was slick in the field, but yeah.
Lindor's hitting is getting a little better.
Yeah.
So far so good.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's gonna be a fun. It's gonna be a fun summer in New York. I think both teams will be playoff bound. I don't like the way the Yankees are set up for the playoffs. Again, same problem. Can't hit in the clutch. And the bullpen's not as good this year, but you know they'll get Britton back and it'll be okay. They'll both win close to 90 games.
Stanton's having a monster. You never forget the Yankees.
No, listen, the American League is not very good. The division is not great. They'll win 90 games, but the problem is they'll run to the same buzzsaw that they've run into the last 4 years. They just cannot hit in a big spot. And I do love Cole. He gives you a good, he gets three runs in the playoffs. He'll win games for you. So I love it. I love Cole. He's not DeGrom quite, but he ain't far off.
Excellent man. He's an excellent pitcher.
Yes. It's going to be a fun summer for baseball. Hopefully we'll get you back during the summer before you start getting heated up with shows. But listen, if you do go out to Russia, please be careful.
When are we going to move on to football?
You want to talk football? Hey, listen, I tried to get you on for the draft show when we did the whole thing, and they said, no, he's not interested.
I was like working too hard. I really wasn't keeping up with the draft.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, maybe let's go for baseball.
Okay. You want to talk football? Go ahead. I'll give you the go now. Okay. So we'll give you a chance to catch up when things go. It's going to be an interesting football season for both New York teams. We'll see how it plays out. But it's going to be a fun summer for baseball. It sounds like you're going to get heated up in this summer, go out and do some shows out in Eastern Europe. So good luck with that.
When the green light is given, I have three bands.
Wow.
Legitimate bands that will go out and tour and be money earners. So I can't really complain about that, but I've been working my ass off every single day on this stuff. Well,
it shows. I mean, obviously the Death Dealer stuff was great the last time I heard. And of course the RTB shit is amazing. And now Dictators. So you got stuff coming from all different angles, all different types of genres. We love it. And, listen, we wish you the best. We can't wait for you to come back again. And, Gil, make sure we know who the new guitar player is as soon as you can.
That's right. I will. I'm sorry I couldn't reveal.
That's okay. We understand. There's bigger and better places to reveal that stuff. And I know you still got some stuff to work out. But, listen, we do appreciate you coming on. We wish you lots of success with this and everything else. And please stay safe this summer when you're traveling.
Thank you, guys.
That's Russ the Boss. Russ, thank you very much, brother. Keep the faith. Keep it going.
You got it.
All right, guys, that's Ross. Ross the Boss joining Jeff and I. It's probably his, like, eighth or ninth appearance on the show at this point.
Yeah, he's always cool.
You know, think about it, Jeff. I remember Ross when I was a kid looking at Manowar albums. To think that at this point in our life, we kind of have a semi-relationship with the guy is pretty interesting.
We have a relationship with a man that was putting out albums in Lion Cloth underwear.
That's very true.
Older, much older. I'm not very much older than us, but older. I don't know if this is the relationship I would have wanted with him.
What would you have wanted years ago?
Maybe he throws a T-shirt at us and we go our way, he goes his way.
Okay, I got that. But I think it's from a perspective, I think it's a good one because, you know, we were just talking about baseball and fundamentals, and here's a guy who, A, is a great musician and plays in some amazing bands, but is teaches baseball. And I think at a very high level and with a lot of youth, and I think it was a nice conversation to have. So it was good to have Russ the Boss on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
now I will get you to your topic of the night, which I see you were salivating to get to, which was Tim Tebow.
Oh, God. So
I'll let you run with this one. Go ahead. So give me your thoughts on Tim Tebow.
Here's my concerns about
Tim Tebow. You have concerns about Tim Tebow?
Yes, sir.
Health concerns, just him being back in football, the media exploiting it. What's your concerns for Tim Tebow?
My concerns is for one Trevor Lawrence.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, now you do realize he's not coming back as a quarterback. He's coming back as a tight end.
Right. He is a quarterback, okay? A failed quarterback at that.
Agreed.
Now all of a sudden he's reunited with his college coach.
Correct.
Okay, what happens if Trevor Lawrence goes out there and has a bad game? Are they going to start putting Tim Tebow in as a change of pace quarterback, a couple freak plays, fluke plays here and there? And then let's just say that Tim Tebow goes out and is 3 for 5 with 45 yards and throws for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Are they going to expand his role into more of a...
Jeff, he was a big. How long has he been out of football? 5 years? 7 years?
A long time.
So, I mean, he was not a good quarterback then. to think that 5 or 7 years later, Tim Tebow's going to come back and challenge Trevor Lawrence, I think it's crazy.
I'm not saying he's going to challenge him, okay? All I'm saying is that Urban Meyer must have a soft spot for him.
Absolutely.
If he makes a team as a 33-year-old returning tight end, somebody, well, by the way, that's never played tight end, by the way.
No. Didn't he play tight end for the Jets a little bit?
No.
He didn't?
No.
Okay.
Always held firm that he was a quarterback. That's why I'm bringing this up. You can't turn around and say that you're bringing Tim Tebow onto the Jaguars as a quarterback, third string, second string, whatever. You just can't do it. Not when you just drafted a quarterback number one overall. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, now you're putting something in the back of his mind. Here's your coach's college quarterback coming back onto the team, okay? Hasn't played in a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know there's going to be some growing pains.
Yep.
He has some growing pains, and he's not having a good game. Does Urban Meyer maybe turn around and say, well, listen, let's take Trevor Lawrence out. We got the – Tim Tebow is, let's have him have a series out, a little go at it. It would be stupid to think that this is the Jaguars quarterback of the future.
Right.
We already know that much.
Right.
But it's still any time that Lawrence gets taken out of the game is taken away from his development, I feel. And I don't like the idea of the possibility, are they going to turn around and start using him as a change of pace and anything of that nature, anything, I just think.
Well, what I could see, and I kind of disagree with you a little bit on that, but what I could see is like, okay, Tim Tebow is an H-back or a tight end, and they run a play where, they throw a backwards pass to him or hand him the ball, and he throws a pass on a gimmick play. I could see that happening. I could see that on the goal line. You kind of flip the ball to Tebow and he makes a pass. But to see him get anything regular, I would be shocked by that. That would surprise the crap out of me if they were put any sort of an offense together that included Tim Tebow throwing the football.
Well, I'm not saying as a full-time option. But, I mean, let me ask you something.
Yep.
When you play football,
yep.
What position did you feel as though you were best at?
In my tackle days or in my touch tackle days? Because it's a difference in my opinion.
One you want.
Again, I would say I was best in I would guess to make it simple and easy, playing linebacker was my natural spot.
Okay, so you're playing linebacker tackle or two-hand touch?
I actually played there both. That's why I went that way.
All right, let's go two-hand touch.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been playing in the same team for 3-4 years, whatever. Now all of a sudden, some kid that played in another team, now he comes over. He's on your team. Same position, but he's a couple years younger.
Right.
Maybe not as good, but he's a couple years younger, a little faster. You lost the step now, of course. And it is not in the back of your mind like, okay, this guy is here now. What is the story here? Are they going to slowly move him in or, something of that nature?
Yeah.
You got to think of it. You have to think of it.
No, I
agree.
I'm
not saying it's going to happen, but it's something that, to me, Trevor Lawrence may have to be like, well, why did they get somebody who was a former quarterback? Former quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback he has success with.
Yeah.
And now he's here. So now if I have a bad game, are they going to take me out? Is he going to take some of my reps? That's all I'm saying.
I get your point. I think if let's say, I'm going to throw a team. Let's say the San Francisco 49ers signed Tim Tebow to play tight end. Could I see Jimmy Garoppolo looking over his shoulder? Yes, I could see that happening. Urban Meyer's the coach and Jimmy Garoppolo's the quarterback and he hasn't had a lot of success and it's up in the end. You bring in and you got a guy like Tebow there, maybe. But Trevor Lawrence is a rookie. He ain't looking at a 35-year-old Tim Tebow to step in and take any reps from him. But, again, I got your point. It is a distraction. It's a distraction just because it seems like people in the organization on the higher-ups are arguing back and forth whether this is good or not. You got players around the league commenting that, I saw somebody the other day say, well, why does Tim Tebow get another chance and Colin Kaepernick doesn't?
Yes, I saw that.
You know, and to me, it's two different things. Did Colin Kaepernick volunteer to come back as a tight end? I didn't see that anywhere. Did you? Because Colin Kaepernick is a terrible quarterback. So maybe if he came back as a receiver, maybe somebody would want him.
Of course not. You know, he didn't come back to offer to come back as a different position, but whatever.
Right.
Right away, I think it was stupid that somebody would fucking make that comparison as it is.
I agree.
Just knowing, like you said, he came back in a different position is something completely different.
Correct.
First of all, I know and I understand what you're saying about Trevor Lawrence's job being safe.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to be a complete imbecile to think that, that Tim Tebow was going to unseat Trevor Lawrence at 33 years old.
Right.
But it's still the idea and the thought that anything could happen in the NFL.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
No, listen.
Anything could happen.
Listen, if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt in the middle of a game, they're down two quarterbacks in the game, and your boy Tim Tebow steps up. And does a decent job and maybe finishes up and wins the game. You know, is there the call for Tebow? Maybe, who knows? But you know,
I'm not saying there's going to be the call.
No, I got it.
You know what I'm saying, but you know what? Look at it this way: Tim Tebow helped end Mark Sanchez's career.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Absolutely,
the New York Jets. 100%. Just because he was there.
Yeah.
Just because his name was mentioned.
I would agree with you 300%
on that
one.
I don't think that Sanchez was able to ever overcome it.
I think Sanchez killed himself, but yes, the fact that Tim Tebow was there and a lot of people wanted Tim Tebow to play, were fascinated by the fact that Tim Tebow, while he wasn't a great quarterback, had some success. And Sanchez was struggling. Yeah, I think it definitely was a bad move by the Jets to bring him onto that team at that time.
Friend of the show, Joe Flynn.
Yep.
Immediately, if not sooner, hit me up the other day.
Oh, really?
And see if I can get it, because with his opening line, I was just like, "You got to be kidding me! This kid's unbelievable." But, he says he could have been a tight end for the Jets on Tuesday. He could have been a tight end for the Jets. Like, you got to be on kidding me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I turned around and I said, could have been, but at least the Jets were smart enough to leave him and not be part of this soon-to-be circus.
Yeah.
You have a rookie quarterback on your team and now sign Tim Tebow and have him lurking in the background, and they're going to fuck Lawrence up, which I believe that is going to play on Trevor Lawrence on some levels. A couple bad games on a bad team.
Yeah.
Unless this kid is extremely confident in what he can do and where he can do it, he's got to be thinking, is there a chance that, you know, my job safe this week? Is my job safe next week? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, listen. Again, I think anything's possible. I think the biggest thing for me would be the distraction of Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, for some reason, while it seems like a good guy who does lots of nice things and is the least controversial player that I've ever seen who's as popular as he is, and yet he, for some reason, dredges up some sort of hatred amongst other players and people in general, and I don't understand why. The guy has done really nothing other than just be a pretty good guy, not a great football player, granted, but a good guy and a heck of an athlete, and I don't get the negative Tim Tebow stuff.
Well, I don't think it's against him per se, but I think it's that he garnered so much attention.
Yeah. Yes.
And he just doesn't deliver
jealousy.
The attention, the jealousy, attention, a whole bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, here's somebody that comes in, thinks he's the quarterback. Quarterback is the most important position, and probably more so now than any other time in NFL history.
Yeah, you're nailing that. Yeah. And
now you're bringing him back again.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I think, obviously I think this is only because it's his old coach. I don't expect Tim Tebow to play in the NFL this year. I think this is a training camp thing. I think a little bit of this is to bring in a good guy into the clubhouse and have people see him being a professional and a decent human being and maybe helping to change the culture. I really don't expect Tim Tebow to be on the roster.
I don't know of any bad culture that was in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
There was a lot. There was when they had Ramsey and that whole squad, there was a lot
but
of
those guys. they're gone.
No, I got it. But I you know what, Jeff? Just because they left doesn't mean that the culture is changing. And listen, they've been losing for a lot of years now. So, I don't see it as – to me, it's not a negative to bring a guy like Tim Tebow, who's really been a winner. I mean, two national championships, a Heisman Trophy. You know, he's had some success in football. He went over to baseball and played okay for a guy who's been playing 10 years. But, you know, I think it's a nice – and he seems like a good guy. And I don't think it's as a negative, but I think ultimately I think the wear and tear of the Tim Tebow train when it comes into town – will probably cause him to not play for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. And again, because the eyes are going to be on it, like you said, for Trevor Lawrence, I think if you're the Jaguars, the least amount of what's the right word? The least amount of chaos is the better for that young quarterback.
Of course.
You know?
Of course, without a doubt. Has to be.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, do you expect him to be on that roster come in September?
I think that's the plan. Yeah. I think that they're going to, I don't see him serving much purpose to the team to be a filler, so to speak. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be on that team. Matter of fact, I think they're going to give him even more of a curve than they would somebody else.
Oh, I would agree with that. I think he'll get it. He might get every opportunity, but to think that after 7 years of probably being out of football and coming back not as a quarterback, even more so learning a new position, I think it's going to be a stretch to be on this roster. But listen, anything's possible, and I'm rooting for the guy. To be honest with you, I hated him in college, but I will root for Tim Tebow to be on that roster just because I think he's a good guy, and I think it'd be a fun story for us especially.
I never had any issue with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow,
uh-huh.
Never really did. I mean, I just couldn't understand why the Jets would pick him and try to put him, force him onto that team one way or another.
I agree with that.
When you had a young quarterback who probably would have been in the twilight of his career at this point in time anyway if he stayed with the Jets. You know, they would have been looking for somebody new by now anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's still the point that, you know what, you had a quarterback that went 2 years and gained a lot of experience in his first 2 years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we could talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Sure.
Whether regardless of what you thought of Mark Sanchez or not. But the guy gained 2 years, first 2 years in the league, invaluable experience by going all the way to the AFC Championship game and almost winning the second time. So, there you made a seasoned quarterback by year two, the end of year two. This guy had more playoff experience than some guys with 10 years in the league.
No,
He tied the record for most road win playoff games that, one more year, one more game, he would have held the record. The New York Jet holding a playoff record. Could you imagine that?
It
just didn't happen.
Yeah, again, I think bad coaching, a lot of bad decisions, and I don't think his work ethic was where it should have been. But listen, the guy did some good stuff while there with the Jets. I think it was just that team was built really well. But listen, it'll be interesting. We'll see how it plays out. We got a lot to get to tonight. Jeff and Tom hanging out on a Thursday night. I want to do a little wrestling right now. We'll sneak a little wrestling in here and get back to talk a little bit about the NFL schedule and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We got a lot to get to. We're going to probably wind this up about 9 o'clock, but we never kind of put the cap on until we're done, so let's see.
What time is the flight tomorrow?
7 a.m. I got to be out of the house at 4:30 at the airport by 5.
What airport?
5. Newark, thank God.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I was smart enough to book it out of Newark, so it ain't too bad.
What happened? LaGuardia was too far for you?
No. Actually, you know what? I was actually trying to book it out of Philly. Somebody kept telling me that Philly airports and other airports down south of me were cheaper, and they weren't. So Newark was the cheapest the fly of all the airports in the area. I got the best numbers, and for a couple of bucks,
What are you going to drive there, park the car, fly out, and that's it? And when are you coming back?
I'll be back. I have a 10 a.m. flight Monday morning.
10 a.m. flight Monday morning.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna visit with our good friend Frank Jeffrey tomorrow. I'll be seeing him on Saturday. Have a little lunch and check out his town, and then I'll be going.
I am not sanctioning this trip.
You're not.
No, I'm totally against this trip.
You're totally against this trip?
Totally against this trip.
Okay, can I have a reason why you're against this trip?
Yeah, because I don't want you to move to Florida.
Well, I will tell you, it's not. It's nowhere in the cards at this moment. It's a little bit of a trip to just kind of hang out and just check out Florida a little bit, and we'll see what happens in the future. But right now, I'm kind of happy where I am.
I understand you. I've heard you talk about it a couple times and everything, and it's. I'm sitting here thinking of you going to Florida.
Uh-huh.
Another friend of mine went down to Florida recently to go visit a family member, and he's talking about going to Florida. And I'm like, you know what? I'm the only one left in New York. Everybody left.
Not yet. No, not yet. You know, listen, our gang is still hanging in there. So we're.
Joey lives in Jersey. Yeah. My brother's in Jersey.
Oh, I got you.
Jersey.
Yeah.
Richie's in California.
Yep.
Jimmy's in New York, yeah, but you know, we don't really see Jimmy as much.
Nope.
He only comes out when the full accompaniment there is hanging out.
That's true.
But I got other friends like Anthony Carey, our singer for Red Rum, left after the pandemic. Tim Hilton left New York after that. I have another friend that I believe is leaving like any minute.
Mm.
He's leaving to go to Florida. You know, there's a lot of people I know that have heading the fuck out of here in no time. And it's, you know, it's like I'm going to find myself having to move just so that I know fucking somebody. It's like.
Well, I got to tell you, Jeff, I will tell you that I hope that someday I will be living in Florida. I do hate the cold weather. So I am definitely looking to at least spend part of my year down there. But I don't know when and if that'll ever happen. Right now, I'm just doing some exploring and see where it heads. I'm really just looking for something in my future. You know, I don't.
Let me read you this real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. Florida in the New York. I'm sorry. In the United States, Florida ranks third in poisonous bugs, second in poisonous snakes.
Wow.
Behind only Arizona, and 14th in alligators.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not good to go there, man. It's not good to go there. There is no Carvel down there.
No Carvel?
No.
Oh,
no.
Boy.
There is only 3 McDonald's in the whole state, the entire state.
Is that true?
I don't know. I'm just reading what it says, man. I don't think it's a good move. I think we stay on till 10 o'clock tonight. You cancel this flight and save the money. That's it.
Well, the money you spend, so I'm going to Florida tomorrow. I will definitely be on the lookout for poisonous snakes and the alligators, that's for sure. I am no fan of either. And like I said, it's still wide open, and we will always be friends, my friend, and you'll always be in my life. So no matter what happens, Jeff and Tom will be friends to the end. Whatever that end is, we'll find out. But right now the end will be the show, and then tomorrow a little trip to Florida. I will be taking some pictures at the Hulk Hogan Beat Shop and Jimmy Hart. Speaking of wrestling, I got to sneak this in. You got to watch this for 30 seconds. I'm going to play a song. You're going to see a bunch of faces real fast. I can't play it too long because I'm afraid of copyright things. And I want you to try to tell me what famous wrestling personality is in this band.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
Let me cue it up for you. Let me know if you're hearing.
But there's so much more. DraftKings use their top of the line.
Are you hearing that?
I hear it. It sounds like a commercial.
Now, Jeff, do you recognize the song?
If I'm going to go out on a limb, which probably ain't, but is it something to do with the Honky Tonk Man?
Well, I can't say it doesn't, but I can't say it does either. It's definitely you're smelling in the right ballpark. So I'll say that. Do you recognize the song? Really? This is a very popular.
It's from the 50s, right?
This is 60s. This is out. This is a 1965 song. I'll play you just another second or two. I want to try to get to the chorus. Oh. Now, that's where I'm going to stop it, Jeff. Can you see the picture?
No,
okay,
I can't.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna bring the picture in to
the
screen.
The song sounds more familiar now, Dancing and a Prancing or something
It's Keep On Dancing by the band called the Gentries. I am going to share this right now. Hold on, let me stop sharing. I'm going to share it so you can see the photo. Full screen that. Let's go full screen. Okay, and then we're going to share. I'm going to give you a quick second of music and that's the face. Can you see the face?
Well, I see two main faces there.
Okay. I would venture to say look to the right a little bit. Not the guy on the left smiling, the other guy looking at him.
The other guy.
I'll play another second or two of the song.
I definitely heard the song before.
Okay, you know the song? Do you have any idea who that singer was?
No.
Would you be surprised if I told you that was Jimmy Mouth of the South Heart?
Really?
That Jimmy Hart actually had a number, I don't know if it was number one, but it was a big hit with the band called the Gentries. Somewhere in the future, he became the lead singer of the Gentries.
Really?
Yes, and Jimmy Hart actually wrote a lot of the theme music to The Wrestler's Entrance.
I did not know that.
Yes, and there's a couple of wrestling albums that he was the producer and played music on. Jimmy Hart was a singer, musician before, in fact, got into wrestling because he had some sort of affiliation with Jerry the King Lawler. And he managed not only Jerry the King Lawler, there you go, Lou Pika picked up on the Gentries. He also managed Andy Kaufman. Do you remember the Andy Kaufman-Jerry Lawler feud in the 70s?
Yes.
So Jimmy Hart put that whole thing together.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'm telling you, when you get 5 minutes, you got to go on YouTube and just check out the story. It's hysterical. If you're going to watch the Jerry Lawler documentary, on the A&E thing. I'm telling you, the wrestling thing, I watch it every week. And it was lots of fun facts that you find out. And one of them was that Jimmy Hart was a professional singer and had a big hit with the Keep On Dancing with the Gentries.
I got to find the channel where A&E is. I did branch out a little bit into, aside from just watching strictly the NFL network. I started watching girls' college softball because it was the only thing on one night. That was rough, but it was all right.
Okay.
And then what else did I watch? Just last night, me and the dog were watching some stuff on the, not the History Channel, I guess the History Channel.
Okay.
And, I mean, typical stupid stuff, Forged. The show called The Forged and Fire or something.
Yes, I've seen it. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That was a pretty cool show. And then Mountain Men.
Yes, I've seen some of those things. Yes.
Yeah, me and the dog will know we're walking through the woods looking for bobcats, but we didn't think it's a good idea.
I would say that's not a pretty good idea with your blind dog to be running the street, running in the woods, checking out bobcats. But yeah, Jimmy Hart. You know, I find out a lot of this stuff. Jimmy Hart is a pretty good singer and had a career. If you YouTube it. There's a couple of reunions that I didn't get a chance to watch them yet with the Gentries and Jimmy singing and quite the musician. So I'm going to be in Florida. I'm going to be taking a ride over to Jimmy Hart's Tiki Bar and checking that place out. Although I guess it's got some bad reviews. I'll have to take my chances of taking a ride over. But
bad reviews for what? Like the bad service or people eat the food?
It's not affiliated with the WWE. So there's not a lot of memorabilia. He's not really there. You 30 seconds and you're done type of thing.
I've never once watched 1 second of Buck Dynasty, believe it or not. Never once.
I've watched a few shows. Louis on fire tonight.
Me and the dog are more land people.
I'm not a big fan. Do you know the father on Duck Dynasty was actually a college quarterback and was the quarterback, I think, before Terry Bradshaw at Louisiana State.
Really?
Yes, Robert. I think his name is Robertson, something that way. Was actually a quarterback at the University of Louisiana State, Louisiana Tech, maybe it is. And he was there with Terry Bradshaw. So, interesting little fact on the Duck Dynasty people. We think you're a Duck Dynasty. He's on fire tonight. So Kumati's on fire. Louisiana Tech, that I knew it was one of those, State or Tech, so good thing for that. But all right, so listen, there's my fun fact on Jimmy Mouth and the Soft Heart. A little bit of a singer, did his thing back in the 60s. And
it didn't even look like him.
You know, it's very hard. Yeah, sometimes you see guys, you go, wow, that does look like him. And I look at that. I had to go 10 times, couldn't figure out who was in the band was Jimmy Hart. And then I had to go to another place, and there was a picture of the band with their names underneath it. That's the only reason why I knew that was Jimmy Hart.
Wow. Okay.
So that's a little something from there. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. Before we get into the NFL schedule, let's go Rock and Roll Hall of Fame real quick before we go to we'll end it up with the NFL schedule. And I think the Giants have a very difficult schedule, although I still believe they'll do well, potentially. So anyway, the list is out. The list is out, and people getting in there now are the Foo Fighters, the Go Go's, Todd Rundgren, Carole King, and the Queen of Rock and Roll, which I've never heard before, was Tina Turner, and Jay Z are going in the artist category, Jeff. You now also have another category. Hold on. Does this one have that category? There is a, this one didn't have that category. Give me 1 second. Hall of Fame. I don't want that one. I don't want that one. I want the one I had before that had all the names of all the people. Oh, they're in the same spot. Sorry, Jeff. 1 second. But Randy Rhoads is getting in, Jeff, which I was excited about.
You had said earlier.
Yeah, I was actually excited that the let's see, here it is. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class. Who did I miss? Okay, Carole King, and Grohl is going in with Foo Fighters. Okay, that's not all. Early rap pioneer LL Cool J, keyboard master Billy Preston. Hard rock guitar ace. Imagine that the hard rock ace, Randy Rhoads, are also joining with the award for musical excellence. Now, let me ask you a question. How does LL Cool J get in for award for musical excellence? Scary.
I don't know. How does LL Cool J get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Which, by the way, was originally titled the Sidemen category when it debuted. I don't know what that means. The early influence category, electronic trailblazers, craft work, spoken word poet Gil Scott-Heron, and father of Delta Blues Charlie Patton are joining the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as the class. Now, Jeff, all those people, who actually deserves to be in there? Do the Foo Fighters deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? That's a big
one. Fighters might be the... I mean, they're not a favorite of mine, but they might be the biggest band in rock and roll right now at this point in time.
But does that qualify you? I mean, are they influential, do you think? Are the Foo Fighters influential?
I mean, to me, no. To others, I don't think anybody is influential at this point in time.
You spend a lot,
pick up the instruments and
but you spend a lot of time on social media when you're not in jail, of course. You know, do you ever go, I see it all the time. People say, oh, I picked up my guitar because of Eddie Van Halen. Oh, I was a big metal fan because of Iron Maiden. I was a huge fan of such and such because of this guy. I have never seen anybody come out. The same thing I said about the Cars. But, they may be a great band, and they may sell places out, and they're, you know, fun band to watch. But where is the influence or – you know, 20? Do they have 25 years? Foo Fighters been around for 25 years?
No, I don't think so.
You're supposed to be around 25 years.
Well, Nirvana. How long ago was it that
30 years?
Kurt Cobain blew his head off 30 years ago.
Well, 30 years ago was the grunge era. So Cobain killed himself, what, at 95, 96?
94, 95.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's borderline. Did Foo Fighters come out immediately after? Were they out already?
No, not that I know about. I'm going to see if it says when the Foo Fighters came
out. Yeah, then you got, now here's one I didn't New Wave Pioneers, the Go-Go's. Do you remember the Go-Go's being New Wave?
Well, kind of.
Yeah?
The Foo Fighters were formed in Seattle in 1994.
Yeah, so so that's 26, 27 years. I don't remember that, but okay, listen.
No, neither do I.
Yeah, so now,
Joe Flynn.
What's Joe Flynn up to?
No, he just said, what's up,
what's fellas? Up, Joe Flynn? Yeah, Lou, I know he's popular. I get it. I don't want to
be
grudging.
He's popular by default because I don't think there's anybody else.
Correct. Yeah.
To kind of take his place.
I agree with that. I don't despise Dave Grohl. I dislike Dave Grohl, but it's not his fault that I dislike him. I just don't get it. The Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Carole King, Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren, he's done his share, believe it or not. I'm not saying he's great.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But a lot of people, you know, he's done his share over the years. What band was he in? Utopia?
Yes. Yep.
Lulu Pika, maybe you know.
Yeah.
Todd Rundgren, was it Utopia?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, Todd Rundgren and Utopia, I think, thought it was.
I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe Lou knows. He's one of those guys that got a lot of knowledge up there. But, I mean, your girl Tina Turner, I mean, I never heard Tina Turner referred to as the queen of rock and roll.
Tina Turner, when she first came out with her and Ike,
mm-hmm.
before he developed his backhand, you know, they were... It was with Utopia. Ike and Tina were, you know, kind of like, I don't know, what do you want to say? Not R&B, kind of more like soul. And
I would put them more in an R&B category than I would rock. I mean, queen of rock and roll.
I don't know about that. You got to remember the time you're talking the 60s, though, Tom.
Yeah.
Early 60s, mid 60s.
Yeah.
It came out, you know, Proud Mary. Listen to Proud Mary. That ain't R&B.
But is it rock? I get that there's a different flavors of rock and roll. Like there's different flavors of metal now. Some, like I said, we're talking about Brazilian Dutch death metal. I don't know where the Brazilian Dutch death metal comes from, but okay, he produced Bad Out of Hell and had some hits as a solo artist. Joe Flynn, they need a metal hall of fame since they ruined rock one. With hip hop instead of just making, yeah, you know, Joe, they actually do have a heavy metal hall of fame. They used to have a thing every year, a show. It was not very highly viewed, but there actually is a heavy metal hall of fame someplace.
Gee, where is it?
I'm not sure. I want to say it's in the Midwest someplace, but they were doing it out in L.A. They were having a show in L.A. and it was. A heavy metal hall of fame. They would have all those awards, and they did it for a few years. And I'll have to look that up, but I believe there is one out there already. So, but listen, I'm kind of tired of ragging on it.
Toledo.
That's very possible. You know, again, I'm tired of ragging on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because nothing's ever changed. I mean, Iron Maiden deserves to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 100 million albums. They've been doing it for 40 years. You know, there's countless people. Run around talking about Iron Maiden as an influence. You know, why can't Iron Maiden get in? Why can't Judas Priest get in? I don't know. Until some of those bands, Jeff, get in, I can't hold it. When you have an excellence in music category and LL Cool J and Randy Rhoads get in, I got to throw my hands up.
Well, listen, at least Randy Rhoads made it in.
I agree, but you can't put LL Cool J and Randy Rhoads in the same time in the same category. It just makes no sense.
But they did.
I know.
You're saying they can't, but they did.
Hey, Motorhead. Motorhead, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer to you? That's
maybe
a tough one.
For the longevity, maybe for the influence, maybe for more for Lemmy than Motorhead. His lifestyle and everything he did.
I think the answer to me is, and I'm not a Motorhead fan, is yes, because so many people, just like you said, they were out for 100 years. They had a few big hits. I don't know how many albums they sold, but, you know, those guys did a lot of stuff, and very influential band in the kind of the crossover. You know, they're kind of a cross between the and the metal. You know, I never really put them in a metal category, but they are considered metal.
Yeah,
you know,
they are.
So to me, but see, to me, that's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame loses out, because you know, guys like Lemmy should be in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, whether or not, you know, if you want to put in excellence, and I don't think Lemmy was a great bass player, and he certainly wasn't a great singer, but to me, you got to get a guy like Lemmy in that he was rock and roll. You know,
yeah,
and,
I could go along with that without a doubt.
You know,
but you know, he also scared for as many fans as he's had. That's his, probably twice as many as he scared off with his gravelly voice, with just the way he fucking looked. That alone has got to scare the shit out of some people.
Is Alice Cooper in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know, dude. I'll tell you the truth. I don't even pay attention to it because that's how much of a farce I think it is. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I'm looking it up. I'm curious. I'm just curious. I mean, the guy's had a pretty long career, and Rob Zombie inducts Alice Cooper at the 2011 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So yes, Alice Cooper's in. You can argue that one, but I think
you have to put Alice Cooper in.
Just for the genre of what he did.
Shock rock. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think he gets, he's got to get, I mean, I'm not a huge Alice Cooper fan. I like a half dozen or so songs. But
probably the same ones that they play on the radio.
Correct.
Right?
Well, I mean, Hey Stupid and Feed My Frankenstein and Poison. I like some of that stuff. It's not bad. But yeah, I mean, if you put together the act and what he did when he was doing it and the influence on it, I think that's a pretty good one to get in. So again, yeah, listen, We can rail on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Why is Jay-Z getting in there? Why is LL Cool J? Why is Tina Turner listed as a queen of rock and roll? But we're never going to change it. I just want to, you know, Iron Maiden deserves to be in there. Judas Priest probably deserves to be in there. I question Priest sometimes. I don't think they've had the career that Maiden had.
I think so. I see a lot of people, a lot more people, if you pick head-to-head between Priest and Maiden, a lot more people pick Priest than Maiden.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I just think, though, if you put up what Maiden, you know, Priest had 5 or 10 years of a run. I think 10 is a stretch. I would say from 80 through 88, Priest was a big band. Maybe you want to take him to 90. Maiden is still huge, still playing arenas, still playing huge shows. I think Maiden has eclipsed Priest to a certain extent, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, dude, a lot of people, I hear you and I agree. I mean, if I had to pick head-to-head, I go with Maiden. But I've seen often than not, I would say probably 6 to 7 people out of 10 pick Maiden over Priest. Pick Priest over Maiden.
No, I get it. Priest came, you know, there was always the rivalry. Priest probably for the first 3 or 4 years was the bigger name band. I get that. U.S. Festival jumped Priest to a bigger level. But, you know, to me, over the course of 30 years, you know, I would put Maiden in the, and again, I'm biased, so I'll flat out say it. That's the way it goes. But
well, listen, this everybody's going to have a favorite without a doubt.
Sure, yeah. I mean, but so I got through all of that. We got through Jimmy Hart. Let's go to a little football, Jeff. In the last 20 minutes or so, we got on the show tonight. I want to talk about the NFL schedule. The first big thing before we get to the Jets and Giants is some interesting games. Week 1, Cowboys-Bucks open up the season on a Thursday night. Interesting matchup. You know, you got the Buccaneers, you're going to probably be getting there. I think the game is in Tampa, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sure the Bucks will be getting their rings, and they'll be putting banners up. Cowboys coming off of a bad season, injury to Dak Prescott. It's an interesting first game of the season, do you think?
No, I think they could have come up with a better game. I would like to have seen a rematch between Tampa Bay and Kansas City, or maybe Kansas City and Buffalo, or Tampa Bay and Buffalo.
So you like the idea that the Bucks are out there open at night, but you're not a fan of the matchup, so to speak.
What did the Cowboys do to deserve?
Well, they're the Cowboys. The problem is they're the Cowboys. That's the problem is they're, a quote-unquote America's team. You know,
I don't think so.
They got a semi-soft schedule, the Buccaneers. Their last three games are the Panthers, Jets, and Panthers, Tampa Bay. Sounds like 3-for-3 there.
Well, you know what? You got to make sure that fucking Brady gets a record that could never fucking be beaten.
It's possible, but that's an interesting matchup. I'm not a fan of the game either, to be honest with you. I don't find that to be an overly exciting game. Week four, though, it might be the most exciting week game of the year.
Which is?
Tom Brady returns to New England to face Bill Belichick. Week four. Interesting matchup.
That could be a very big game.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I think that Mac Jones will be starting for the Patriots this year, and everybody's calling him the new Tom Brady. Cerebral. Has that feel for the game. So that could be the old Tom Brady versus the new Tom Brady in New England. Could be Here's an interesting point. Does the Patriots ever give out number 12 again?
I think that there's a good possibility of it happening while Belichick is there.
Because a little zing back?
Sure, definitely.
Yeah. Now, Tom Brady's dad's come out and said, we will beat the Pats handily. A little fire from Tom Brady's father. Before this game, I think this may be the best. This could turn out to be one of the best games of the season. The rivalry, which not really a rivalry, but Tom and Bill hug before or after the game. There's a lot of intrigue to this one, Jeff.
Yeah, there is. I think that they'll meet in private, so nobody will really know what happens.
Do the fans give Tom a big standing ovation? Do they boom for leaving? I think this game has a lot of intrigue, and I'm excited for this one.
I think they're going to be accepting of him.
Yeah. Are they both 3-0 when they go to that game? Is if it's a little less if one team's 3-0 and the other one's 0-3, or if they're both 1-2?
It depends. It's either way you look at it, it's going to be early in the season, so nobody's going to have any kind of heads up on either one.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I would think so.
Unless one is 0-3, the other one is 3-0.
That's.
But. It could go either way. Is this year that Brady gets old? Is Belichick work his magic with somebody else that's not Brady? I mean, he couldn't do it with Cam Newton, but we knew that.
Matt, I agree with you.
Why is Matt yelling? Why are you yelling?
He's very excitable.
He heard us talking about the Cowboys earlier.
Yeah, Matt, you hear that we said the Cowboys suck? Because they do. I think there's a small possibility. If you're New England, yes, you love him and all that. But he did leave. He did go someplace else and win a Super Bowl. And he has basically said, that he doesn't really care anymore about there. And there is the possibility, especially if they go out and they're winning that game, that the fans let him have it a little bit. But the likelihood is he'll get they'll put the video tribute up and they'll do. They'll give him a standing ovation. So I think that's my first interesting game of the year. How about week 9, Mahomes versus Rodgers, if your boy Rodgers is still there? And I can tell you right now, I had some people saying today that the Packers have come up with their backup plan if Aaron Rodgers does not play for them this year. Do you want to know?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to play for them.
I disagree.
Yeah. What's that?
I disagree. I think he's got. I think he has no choice but to play.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. His two choices are to play or not play at all this year. They turned down the number 3 pick of the draft and a legit starting quarterback, not to trade him to San Francisco. What more are you going to get for him at this point?
I don't know, Tom. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's 37 years old, so he's not a long-term answer. But then again, the guy is like gold.
Again,
has been gold for quite some time.
If you were Green Bay and you were even considering the fact that you might not have him on your team this year for whatever reason, him holding out or you trading him, and you get offered the number 3 pick in the draft and a legit starting quarterback and you say no, that tells me that Green Bay has no interest. Aaron Rodgers will play there. They will give him an extra year. They will give him more money. They will do something to make him happy. But Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this year, and there's no doubt.
I think the only way he's going to be happy is if they get rid of him. I don't think he wants to stay there. I don't think it's a matter of money and everything.
I think it's money. I honestly think that he's pissed off that, you know, that Dak Prescott's making more money than him, that Mahomes is making more money than him.
Well, he said it. He wants that other guy gone.
Yeah, but
the general manager.
Yes,
he wants them. He wants them gone.
I get it, but I just if you were going to trade him, that was the moment to trade him. That was the chance to make them to make that move, and go. So I mean, listen, it's going to be an interesting off season for the Packers. Who blinks first? He has no leverage. He's either going to sit out and not play. And they have what they feel is the answer, Jeff. You want to know who the answer is?
There was a couple different names mentioned, and it didn't really seem like the answer from what I read.
Well, the answer seems to be Blake Bortles is about to sign with the Green Bay Packers. So.
I saw that. Good God, Blake Bortles.
Yes, imagine if that's your plan B to in case Aaron Rodgers doesn't come back and it's Blake Bortles. That's what I said, but so if you're signing Blake Bortles, that pretty much means to me that you want him to be in camp because you're figuring Rodgers ain't coming up, isn't going to show up till maybe mini camp, maybe, probably more likely toward the training camp. So
I think he's going to look to get to move on from there.
I don't see it. Like I said, Jeff, is he going to go to Denver? So what? You're going to get closer to the West? You know, to me, if there was a job opening in L.A., maybe, you know, but he's not going to the Rams. He's not going to go I did hear Vegas was a possibility. I think he stays right where he is, and he plays the season out as a Green Bay Pack, and he should. He should stay there. That's right now, that's where he should stay. But Green Bay's got to
change. Joe Flynn asked about Matthew Stafford. No.
Matthew Stafford and the Rams? No, I'm not buying it. I don't buy into the Rams. I don't. I think Arizona's a better team this year. Seattle's still Seattle till they're not. I don't know about how Jeff feels, but I'm not buying it to the Rams at this point.
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Will they be a better team with him than they were with Goff? I wouldn't argue that. They'll be a better team. I just think that division is too good now. And, yeah, Matt, if he gets traded, I think he does go to Denver, but I don't think he's getting traded. Is Denver going to offer more than what they were offered? What are they going to give them? Paxton Lynch? Are they going to, you know, they're going to give him a lot?
Paxton Lynch still even on a fucking team? I think he's out of the NFL.
I'm not sure. But, I mean, are they going to give him Drew Lock? I mean, is that a fair trade? We'll give you next year's number 1 and Drew Lock, and you could have had the number 3 pick of this year's draft. The number 3 pick of this year's draft, you could have drafted anybody you wanted and had Jimmy Garoppolo, and you turned it both down. The Browns look great. I'm not buying into the Browns yet either.
Nobody looks great right now, Joe Flynn.
Yeah, I think
it's April, May.
Now, listen, I think it's time for that team to be good. I do agree with you, Joe Flynn. Let's see their schedule. They open up. Listen, not a tough schedule. First, they open up at Kansas City. Then they got the Texans, the Bears, the Vikings, the Chargers, Cardinals, Broncos, Steelers. Not an overwhelming schedule. Bengals, Patriots, Lions, Ravens again. Two Ravens 2 weeks in a row. That makes no sense. One's off a bye week. So, yeah, listen, I think the Browns will be a contender in that division. I think the Ravens step back this year. Jeff, I don't know about you, but with Big Ben still a quarterback, I do not expect anything out of Pittsburgh this year. I think Pittsburgh will be a 500 or just above team and probably miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I could go with that. Matter of fact, I was reading ESPN earlier, and I think they got Pittsburgh down for like 7 wins.
Yeah, again, I think the biggest mistake.
That was
the
NFL.com.
I think that was the biggest mistake they made was bringing Big Ben back, and really, realistically, their backup is Mason Rudolph, who you know is not a good quarterback. So to me, you know, they weren't good last year.
To quote. Use you as a source.
Oh, boy, here we go. Go ahead. Bash Eli. Go ahead. Bash Eli. Go ahead.
I'm not bashing Eli.
Two Super Bowls.
The best you got, when the best you can get is what you already have, you know, why sign some retread? Why sign some journeyman? When you already got a quarterback that knows the system, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, whatever. Okay. So what do? You keep with what you got there. So that's exactly what they did. They stayed another year with Ben, Big Ben. They probably, just like Eli, want him to gracefully walk away.
Yeah, but the Giants at least
don't look like tricks.
The Giants at least drafted a great quarterback to replace Eli. So then Eli left. They don't have a good quarterback on that team.
Shit, I don't know. Do you know where my fucking waste paper basket is? Because I got a puke. Okay, please stop. This kid chose the world while he
Super Bowl.
Sucks.
Super Bowl. 2 years. 2 years.
Maybe if you're playing Tecmo Bowl.
2 years.
Maybe.
2 years. Watch my boy Danny Dimes.
You're saying they're going to make the Super Bowl.
2 years with my boy Danny Dimes. Running amok. Running amok, Jeffrey. Amok.
No. Yes. No, they're a fucking... God, they just suck. They suck.
Let's can we talk about live? Yes. Joe, we already did live. We did that in the first hour. We were talking about live music and yes.
Yeah, Joe, where the fuck were you?
Yeah, Joe, you got to be in earlier. Pop in a little earlier once in the blue moon, Joe. But yes, we got some concerts. We had Ross the Boss on before, and Ross is going into Ukraine in July to play some shows. So there'll be some stuff out there.
You can fucking write this down right now. You got a pen in your hand there? Write this down.
Got it. Go
Russ ahead. Ross the Boss ain't fucking going anywhere. Okay? That region of the world is going to be on the verge of World War III any fucking minute now. Okay? And he's going to go play in the Ukraine? There's no way. Not happening.
Listen,
maybe next year.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I certainly know that with the troops massing on the border and Joe Biden at the chicken switch. I'm not going anywhere near the Ukraine or Russia.
That may be like the last place that I want to fucking be.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, I'd rather book a tour of fucking Israel.
Yes, I can't argue with you on that one, my friend. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. We were talking a little bit of sports and music and even a little politics thrown in there. Having some fun on a Thursday. Now we've got some guests coming up next couple weeks, but I'm not ready to announce them out until I get some finals there. You know, Joe, I don't know on the NHL playoffs. I love the Islanders. I think the Islanders are playing great hockey. I'll get more into that maybe next week.
I can tell you without even taking a big look into it, I can tell you that the Rangers are not going far this year.
Yeah, no. What about the Rangers? They just fired their coach. The list is out of candidates. Hold on. I didn't want to get that. I want to get back to football for 5 more minutes, but. Mike Babcock, Gerard Gallant, Bob Hartley, Patrick Roy, Rick Tockett, John Tortorella, dear God, I hope not, and Rod Brind'Amour are the big candidates. I say I hope Mark Messier gets a job. I'm usually against that, Jeff. I'm usually against bringing in the legend to coach the team, but I think that's what this team needs at this point. A gritty, tough.
I don't know. I'm still going to go with that he hasn't done much.
Yes.
At all, hockey-wise.
No, he hasn't.
Since he stepped off the ice.
Yep.
And now you want to throw him behind the bench for an 82-game schedule.
I would like that, yes. I would
with
like
no coaching experience, mind you.
The guy is one of the greats of all time. I would give him the shot at it, Jeff. I would do it, honestly. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
Torts already was here with the Rangers, dude.
Yeah, that was atrocious. He was getting players killed. You know, all those guys were blocking pucks with their face. I watched a lot of those Rangers teams, and boy, he was a tough guy to play for. So I pray to dear God in heaven, please let Danny Dimes win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, and John Tortorella never get the Ranger job again.
Here we Here we go.
Listen, God's a Giant fan. I've realized that.
Oh, God, here we go.
God's a Giant fan. But, Jeff, let's go to football schedule for a few more minutes. We're going to wind this down soon. But, you know, I thought the interesting start to the season for the Jets, is that something that was planned out? I mean, you know, Sam Darnold, the Jets, number one pick, you know, 3 years ago, unceremoniously released.
Of course these games are planned out. Of course. Who the fuck would put the Jets and the Carolina Panthers in game one? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's an interesting...
Okay. I mean, they already know what division they're going to play, X amount of games within their own division.
Yes.
And then they play a different conference.
Correct.
And a different division,
yep,
in the NFC, and then a different division in the AFC.
Pretty much.
So they already know who they're playing next year, too. Don't let them fucking fool you.
But the game was...
Because they play their games, their division games, and then they pick one division. Like, if they're playing the NFC South, evidently, this year.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes. Titans.
Then they'll play like the NFC West next year.
Yeah, it looks like, they got, you know, the extra game this year. How bad, as a Jet fan, Jeff, let's say the Jets, I believe this game is in at the Panthers, they go down to Carolina and they get lit up by Sam Darnold. How much will that bother you? No?
None, because it's not going to happen.
All right. I'm asking to play along to the
one. Take over for a second. I got to go to the little boys' room real quick, and then I'll give you my answer when I come back.
All right. Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. We're having some fun talking sports. And, guys, you know, we talk about the hockey playoffs, which, you know, unfortunately for me, once the Rangers are out right now, I'll watch it because I think hockey is the best playoff system. It's so much fun. They play so many games. It's just fantastic hockey. Looking forward to the to the Knicks getting started, and it would be so big for New York to get the Knicks at home. You know, the one thing with this Knicks team, and I say it all the time, my favorite part of this team is A, they play defense, but B, they play every night. I watch that other team that plays in Brooklyn, and these guys never play. I mean, they legit never play. And it bothers the crap out of me. LeBron's still sitting out. You know, the NBA has really started a bad trend. But these Knicks teams, these guys play every night. Julius Randle, you know, they show up every single day and play. Barrett, every day. Rose, most every day. A little old. But, you know, I have to tell you, it's so much fun watching this Knicks team. And I'm excited to watch them in the playoffs. And I can't wait to, you know, the season to end. I think three games left. So we'll keep you updated on that. But Jeff, give me why. Go ahead, Jeff. Now you've cleared your brain out. Go ahead.
Well, I cleared something else out. Never mind my brain.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, if my bladder was as big as my brain, I'd be peeing like every 5 seconds. But that's another story.
It's a whole different story.
Anyway,
Sam.
The Sam Darnold is just not a good quarterback. And there's no way that he's going to light up the Jets. It's not going to happen.
He's got some weapons now. He's going to have, I don't know.
Okay, and then how come
yeah,
they did not do anything last year, Carolina, with Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback?
I never thought Teddy Bridgewater was a great quarterback.
You wanted Teddy Bridgewater as quarterback in the New York Giants.
Well, I wanted Teddy Bridgewater more than some of the other guys the Giants were trying to bring in to play quarterback.
You're like, oh, this would be good for the Giants.
It would have been good for the Giants. It would have been. Had the Giants burned him in as a backup.
There he was, the chance to start, and then